Open your Bible, if you will, to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. Appreciate the preaching this morning. It steered my soul. That's what this meeting's about. It's about encouraging one another. Go out and do what God has called us to do. I remember reading a story one time about a preacher that preached. Gave an invitation and a little boy came and knelt in the altar. Preacher got down, led that little boy to the Lord, took him up and baptized him. And that little boy went home and he was so excited about his new salvation, about the story of being baptized by the preacher, that he set his mother and daddy down and told them about it. And then he had a little sister, and he told her about getting saved, and the preacher baptized him. So that Sunday night, when he came back to church, that little sister was sitting right beside him. The preacher got up and preached the sermon, gave an invitation, and that little girl came forward and knelt in the altar. Preacher took his Bible, went down and led her to Jesus, and then took her up and was going to baptize her. And just before he put her under the water, that little brother did one of the most unusual things that preacher's ever heard. He stood to his feet and began to clap his hands. And he said, "Goody, goody, goody. He won't leave her under. He won't leave her under." He clapped his hands. That preacher thought, what a weird thing to do at a baptism. Never seen anything like that before. But several years passed by, and one day the Lord took that preacher's wife to heaven. They went down and had the funeral service. Went down to the graveyard. The undertaker told the preacher, said, "Now, preacher, if you'll walk away, we'll cover the grave and arrange the flowers. You can come back and enjoy their beauty as we display all these beautiful flowers." And that preacher turned away from that grave and began to walk away. And the Holy Ghost reminded him what that little boy did. So he turned around and faced the grave and began to clap his hands. And he said, "Goody, goody, goody. He won't leave her under. He won't leave her under." So God knows what it out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. Amen. So I'm glad the Lord can use anybody to teach us preachers valuable things in the ministry. Acts chapter 8. Let's stand, if you will, with me while I read these verses this afternoon. Acts chapter 8, the Bible said, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was great persecution against a church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, and except the apostles." Now let's stop right there and turn back to chapter 1 and look at verse number 8. Jesus made a promise to those disciples before he was ascended to heaven. He said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me." Now watch this. "Both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The promise of our God. Here we come to chapter 8, and it comes to pass. just like our Lord had predicted. Look at verse number 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsy that were lame were healed. Now watch verse number 8 in your Bible. And there was great joy in that city. Great joy in that city. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to pray. For this time, Lord, to read our Bible in a public setting in the house of God. We know, Lord, there's a lot of things wrong with America, but she's still the greatest nation upon the face of this earth. And we have you to thank for that. Your blessings have been bestowed. I remember when I was a little boy, my grandmother and grandfather told me about you. What a privilege one day it was to be able to take my Bible one day and walk back to them and introduce them to the Lord Jesus. Thank you for it, for blessing our nation. Bless this time of preaching now. Get glory from it. We'll thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thinking you might be seated. We see the gathering of the men of God in chapter 8. Stephen has just been stoned to death, and great persecution is being made by this man named Saul. But the Bible tells us that in the time of persecution, there is a scattering of the preachers. And the story, instead of following all those preachers from the scattering, the story focuses upon Philip. And the Bible said that Philip went down to Samaria. Now, this isn't the first time that Samaria had the gospel preached to them. For the Bible tells us in John chapter 4 that Jesus, being weary from his journey, sat down in Samaria upon Jacob's well. And there was a woman came to draw water. You know the story. The Bible said she's been married 5 times. And Jesus reveals to her that he is aware that she is presently living with a man that is not even her husband. And she says, I perceive that you are a prophet. And Jesus said in the conversation, he said, give me to drink. And she said, how is it that you ask a drink of me, saying, Thou art a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus said, If you knew who it was that asked thee of drink, thou would ask of me, and I would give thee living water, and you'd never thirst again. She said, Lord, give me that water, that I thirst no more. She said, We know that Messiah shall come. Jesus said, He that speaketh unto thee is he. And that day, that woman had a head-on collision with the Lord Jesus Christ and was gloriously saved. Do you know the first thing Jesus told her to do when she was saved? He said, Go tell the men to come. All those men you've been lying with. In other words, Jesus told her, You go back where you came from and invite them to come and get what you've received in your life. That's still our command today, to go back. I remember when I went back. I told my preacher, I said, I believe that the Lord wants me to be a preacher. And he looked over at me and said, Are you sure? I was wrestling with it myself. But he said, Are you sure? And I said, I'm pretty sure, preacher. I believe God wants me to be a preacher. He said, if you're going to preach, you need a Sunday school class. That'll get you used to being up in front of people. That'll give you opportunity to study your Bible and teach it. And I said to him, Wonderful. Which class can I have? And he said, You're not getting any of my classes. You have to start your own. And so there I was, a young Christian, announced my call to preach, and I've got to start a Sunday school class. But out of that Sunday school class, I didn't know anything to do but to go back to the ones I knew, the ones I'd come out of, and tell them what great things the Lord had done for me. And I went back down to that little trailer where we smoked dope, where we snorted lines, where we injected drugs. And I was walking into that little trailer the whole time I was driving down there. I was praying, Lord, let them all be gone but one. I'll give him the whole gospel tract bundle, and he can tell them I came by. But God didn't answer my prayer. For I got down to that place, and I mean there were Harleys everywhere. There were cars and pickup trucks in the driveway. And I stepped inside that little trailer and someone hollered, Come here, Hatfield, take a hit. And I said very timidly and nervously, I don't need it anymore. And another one invited me to another drug. And another one invited me to another drug. And I said, Not today. I don't need it. And someone said, What happened to you, Hatfield? What's wrong? And I said, I got saved at church Sunday. And God changed my life. And I've got a Sunday school class, and I want to invite you to my class. And listen to me teach the Bible. And I reached out and handed a gospel tract, thinking in my heart, no one will take this. But the hand reached out for it. And I got another one, and someone took it. And I got another one, and someone took it. Do you know I'm bragging on the Lord this afternoon? But I tell you, in 6 months' time, we outgrew our Sunday school room. We had to move upstairs to a double-sized room as God was bringing all them old dope addicts into that church, setting them under the Word of God. Jesus said to the woman at the well, go back and invite them to come. And the call still goes out today. And then here we find Philip going back down to Samaria. And by the way, those men came. And the Bible says this, many of them believed not because of her word, but because they had seen him for themselves. Many of them in the city of Samaria. And Philip gets down in Samaria after the scattering of the men of God. And the Bible says in verse number 8, and there was great joy in that city. They're still having revival. They're still enjoying their Christianity. They're enjoying the fact that their sins are gone. And sitting in this room today, the occupants that are dwelling under the sound of my voice, some of us are ex-dope addicts. Some of us are ex-drunkards. Some of us are ex-whoremongers. Some of us are ex-infidels. But here we are sitting together in the house of God today because the Savior brought salvation into our life. And thank God, just like this city of Samaria had great joy, I want to say to you that our city can have great joy. God would help me for a little while. I want to preach on cities of joy. Cities of joy. Do you know to have joy in a city, you don't get that from a mayor. You can elect anyone you want to, but it will not work and bring the joy we're talking about in this room today. It doesn't matter whom the president is. It doesn't really matter who the governor is. Though I do believe that God is blessing Kentucky right now with a good governor. I believe God has blessed us with a good president. I believe that good things are going on. But the hope for joy down in our city depends on you and I of going back where we come from and bringing that generation to Christ. Cities of joy. There have been times in the Bible that God has brought great joy to cities. As a matter of fact, over in the book of Jonah, the Bible said the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh. So he did what most of us preachers do. He got on a ship and went in the opposite direction, away from the will of God. Running from the call of God. And the Bible said a great storm came upon that city. And as that storm was moving and tossing that little ship around, They came down in the bottom of the ship, and there was Jonah fast asleep. Up on top the ship, every man was calling on his God. Idols and semi-gods. And Jonah said, I'm the reason for the storm. Take me up, cast me over, and the storm will be calm to you. So you know what the world did? They jerked him up by his britches. They flung him over the side of that ship, and the storm became calm, and Jonah's treading water trying to stay alive. About that time, the Bible said a great fish came. The New Testament tells us it was a whale. And they tell us that's proof that this Bible is not authentic, because a whale cannot swallow anything larger than a grapefruit. But you got to understand, this is a custom-made whale. Amen. He don't eat anything but backslid preachers. Amen. And he comes up to where Jonah is and inhales him into his body. And Jonah slides down the throat of that whale and fastens himself inside the belly of the whale. About 3 days later, God said, Mr. Whale, aren't you feeling a little woozy? And the whale said to God, you know, I've been noticing that for the last few hours. I just don't feel good at all. God said, why don't you go over on the shore and do your business? He swam over to the shore, opened up his mouth, regurgitated upon the ground, and the first thing that came out was a backslid preacher. I tell you, it's amazing he could carry him 3 days without getting sick on the first. Amen. But Jonah came out and he said, anybody know the way to Nineveh? Anybody tell me? Quick, hurry, hurry. Can you tell me how to get down to Nineveh? Amen. The word of the Lord came the second time unto Jonah. And that's where most preachers quit preaching. But the end of the story is that Jonah went down to Nineveh. And the Bible said they received his preaching. And the king made a declaration that every man should rise up and call upon God. Well, that'd be a good president, wouldn't it? And it was a citywide outbreak of God, because Jonah brought joy to that city. Look with me, if you will, over in the book of Matthew. Chapter 21. The book of Matthew. Verse number 1, the Bible said, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you,
And straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by prophets, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes. And they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strode them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now watch verse 10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all that city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. The whole city got in on this thing. We call it the triumphal entry of our Lord into Jerusalem. But it was a citywide meeting. I'm convinced down in my soul that Madisonville needs a move in their city like they had there in that city. And Somerset needs a move of God. And on we could go from city to city. There is a great need for God to break out in these cities. How's it done, Brother Hatfield? Not a mayor, not a governor, not a president. But you and I going back and getting those that were there and bring them where we are today. Peter and John did it. They were going to Sabbath school. In the book of Acts chapter 3, and the Bible said there was a lame man sitting at the gate begging. Alms, alms, he cried. But Peter fastened his eyes upon him and said, silver and gold have I none. He probably in his heart said, move on, buddy. You're as bad a shape as I. But Peter said, but such as I have, give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And the Bible said strength came into his legs. And he stood up for the first time in his life and began to leap and to praise God. You know where the first place he went? The house of God. He went to church. He followed Peter and John right into Sabbath school, right where they were going. And he got in there leaping and praising God. And the Bible said, all men did marvel because they knew that it was him. Cities of joy. Boy, I tell you, I'm 60 years of age now. That's young compared to some. But I've never been 60 before. I look in the mirror every morning I shave. And I wonder, Brother Bob, where is that young man that used to hit a 280-yard drive? Where is that young man that had taken an 8-iron and hit it 165 yards onto a green? But he's not there anymore. He's turned 60 years of age. And I look back upon my life and I yearn for those days that our grandparents had, when God moved across America and every man seemed to have a joy down in their soul when it come to the things of God. They say, and I've read in biographies, that preachers in those days would preach. They could not finish their sermon for people wailing, sitting in the pew, weeping their way to God. I remember my mother telling me the story how that her little sister went to the prayer room during church. While they had church, they had a room right off the auditorium, and it was for nothing but praying. She got in there and got on her knees and she was praying for her sister, my mother, to be saved. Her oldest sister came in there and reached down and shook her and said, "Norma, you can quit praying now. Genevieve just got saved." Boy, I would to God we could see those things again. That God would move across America. And I'm convinced. Somebody said, "Do you believe we can have revival?" If I didn't believe it, I'd throw my Bible away and get me a job somewhere. Yes, I believe America can have revival. Cities of joy. Wow, as it was in days gone by. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you, thank you for what you've done in our lives. Thank you for what you've done for this old preacher. Thank you for two children that are saved. Andrew's out of the will of God today. And oh God, I pray. You know every day I wet my cheeks with Andrew, asking God that you would bring him back to the house of God. And Lord, I'm grateful that Adam's up there in Pennsylvania pastoring, doing the work of God. And I have a wife that loves you. Dear God, do it again in America. Do it again. We'll thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.